Take it back, take it back, take it back.
You wish you never met us at all, but you are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by the promiscuous man-eater, David Lim. And everybody look at me. I walk in the door, you start screaming, hopefully in a good way, Joel Babington. David, am I throwing you off?
Nope.
Didn't think so. How are you?
We've used up all our jokes now for this episode.
Yeah, the end. Follow us at Right Back Pod. Give us a lovely 5-star review. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, JB. Oh my goodness, wow. I mean, what an era in time we're about to get into today. And I feel like I've been transported back to my uni days. Where did the time go?
I mean, in the world that we live in, David, and I don't mean 2023, I mean our podcast world, this feels modern. This feels edgy and modern. It feels new. You know, like, if the stuff that we you know, we don't use the word nostalgia a lot, but if the what we generally talk about 75% of the time is like nostalgia to us, this feels like brand new.
So much so that even when I'm looking at the fashion and the clothes, I'm like, yeah,
that out of my wardrobe.
Get that white tank top and that skinny jeans out. Yeah.
I mean, if I see you in a little waistcoat on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. With a little hat.
Little hat. Absolutely. First and foremost, this episode, bless our Nelly, has been on the list for years. But we're literally doing this today as a treat sort of for David almost. Oh. Give him something a bit modern.
Something a bit of R&B for the Limmy.
Yeah, a bit edgy, a bit modern. He's like, Joe, I'm sick and tired of 2001.
How have you been, JB? Have you been immersed in this era?
I've been immersed. I've been feeling promiscuous. I've been feeling dead sexy. What I love about what we do is I've been able to look into this era with such new appreciation for it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything we're talking about today, or at least the big singles of today, were inescapable of the time. They were everywhere. So it's just sort of part of your being. And you don't really, unless you're like a fan, and I wasn't a fan. I wasn't not a fan.
Mm.
But you just didn't think about it. Whereas now, and especially with like all the pop knowledge we now know and love 20 years on, and like appreciating Danger's input in this era.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so many stars aligned where you're like, of course, this is a huge bit of me. Why have I been sleeping on it?
And as we always say, like when we go back to like 2006, 2007, you and I had very different experiences or like different kind of intake of pop culture at that time, right? This is like kind of your cruise ship era, wasn't it?
I don't know how old you think I am, David Lim. This was my last year of secondary school.
it was when we did the Saturdays and Kelly Rowland. That was your cruise ship.
It was 2010.
Era. 2010. Yeah, 2010. Yeah.
That's where we get really modern. This is like last year of secondary school. This is me leaving GCSE mock exam saying I've got a dentist appointment, but it's really so I can go and see Clear perform.
This is your headspace. Well, you were in Clear World. I was in Nelly Furtado, Mariah, Fergie, like all the girls, Beyonce.
Fergie, yeah.
This was my true R&B girlies era. So I think if you have like similar memories of this era to me, you would hopefully really enjoy this nostalgic look back at Nelly Furtado's album. But actually, JB, the mid-noughties really saw some of our prime pop girlies come out with really milestone albums. Speaking of one of them, we were really lucky to see Pink headline BSC Hyde Park over the weekend.
David Lim, that was absolutely incredible. I've sent you several times, but I can't thank you enough for the invite to go. I mean, again, Pink, right? Like Nelly Furtado, like a lot of people, like Kylie Minogue until we started doing her, love, respect, know how incredible they are. I'm not necessarily, it's not someone I listen to day to day. But bloody hell, that was seeing someone that is at the top of their game and has been at the top of their game since the early 2000s, just doing their things and incredible. And do you know what Pink did so spectacularly? She put an incredible show that was for 60,000 people at Hyde Park and managed to balance huge show while also making it feel personal and intimate at the same time.
Yeah.
And that is a very hard thing to do.
I really think she's like one of the greatest entertainers. Like, I just could not believe, first of all, the showmanship, incredible, or showwomanship, we should say. And just the chat and just the personality. She just seems like someone really cool you want to hang out with.
Absolutely. You've converted Alex into a Pink stan. Pink stan. 48 hours before we went to that concert, David Lim, I had to convince him. I was like, I don't really know why you're second guessing this. You are going to absolutely love it. And he was like, oh, I don't really know if I know any of the songs. He looked at the playlist. He was like, okay, I know most of the songs. At the show, David Lim, he's tearing up. I said, I will be honest, two songs before the end, I said, do we want to like dip out
avoid
just to like
crowd,
try and
yeah.
beat the crowds? And he was like, no, I'm good here. And I was like, okay.
I see you.
And then I'm so glad we did stay, because what an ending to that concert.
Yes.
Pink getting right up amongst it, 60,000 people. He now wants all that. He said, well, you know what I'll be investing in now. And I went, trapeze lessons. Yeah. And he said, no, Pink finals.
Oh. I would really love the trapeze lessons, though.
So one day he's going to come home and be fully kitted out as Pink. You know, the hardcore fans dress as Pink, as even Gwen said when she was on stage. So.
Oh, yeah. And Gwen was so good as well. Talk about another of our noughties pop girlies that were, like, prominent in that time.
That was bucket list for me.
Bucket list for me as well. And she said she hadn't performed in London in, what, 16 years? Or something like that, or like in Hyde Park or something in 16 years. And that was just, her energy was like, the mic was on, she sang every word, true rock star on stage.
We had some locals in the audience, we had to inform them, they were confused while she was singing No Doubt songs on 90s covers. It's like, come on, Huns. So we politely let them know.
But yeah, what a great time and great era. And, you know, seeing Pink, you know, you just really have to look at 2006 when this album came out and just be like, wow, the girls were doing it. Pink had I'm Not Dead, her big comeback album, sold over 10 million copies. Beyoncé's B-Day, another really big commercial success, came out that year. Fergie's debut solo album, The Duchess. And then there was this, Nelly Furtado's Loose, the world's best-selling album by a female artist in 2006.
Wow.
Third overall best-selling album of that year, behind High School Musical soundtrack.
Oh.
And Justin Timberlake's Future Sex Love Sound.
Oh, which is sort of like a spiritual brother of this album in a way.
You know, yeah, it kind of is. Timbaland was really reigning that year.
I was about to say, I'm glad you cut me off, David, because I was about to say, ugh, who are the blokes that got her at 1 and 2? But you interrupted me because you knew it was High School Musical 1. We're all in this together, guys. I've got the gold vinyl of High School Musical in my living room. Deserved.
Deserved. I mean, look, all the planets feel like they're aligning for this to be the summer that Right Back At You finally gets into Nelly Furtado. In recent years, several of her songs have gotten a new life through TikTok. And through just like different DJ remixes and samples, she said yes to a lot of things because I guess she must really enjoy hearing her songs being reinterpreted or being sampled in different ways. And to be honest, it's reaching a new audience.
She didn't just say yes. She said it right.
She's the jokes keep coming. Oh, my God. Save some for later, please. Not even at the first single yet. So for us, it might be familiar and nostalgic, but I love this idea that to a whole new generation, they're discovering Nelly Furtado. And the good thing is our girl Nelly has started playing festivals and doing lives again.
Brilliant.
She played her first festival in 5 years earlier this year in Australia. So what are we saying? Fingers crossed for Hoopla 2024?
I think Nelly would do amazing headlining Hoopla. And she would also be amazing at BST, like in the Gwen slot or...
Yeah.
That kind of thing, like absolutely phenomenal.
There's so many hits. And the locals love a bit of James Morrison, Broken Strings. So she can do those types of songs as well. And they'll be
Look,
fine.
Look, we all love to be a bird that flies away. We don't know where our home is.
So for those who don't know, this is Nelly Furtado's third album that we're celebrating today, Loose. She is one of the 2000s most successful solo female artists with over 40 million records sold worldwide. Before this album, Nelly was already a certified international success right off the back of her debut album, Whoa Nelly, in the year 2000 with those classic hits, I'm Like a Bird and Turn Off the Light.
Classics.
As sung by the JB before. Now, her second album, Folklore, is a real fan favorite and I would say quite an underrated gem. I like it a lot, but I just think, yeah, facts are facts. It wasn't the commercial success of the first. But after taking a few years out, she reinvented herself, came back with a new attitude and an absolutely unapologetic R&B pop album. Now, this album was so successful, JB, that it spawned 8 singles.
Wow.
I don't know if we've ever done an episode with that many singles.
No, I guess. How many did the Pussycat Dolls first album have?
Oh, that's a good question. I always thought
six?
It was 5.
6 on Pussycat Dolls.
And then Mariah's Emancipation, 5 or 6?
It was 6 as well. So we've had 2 6s, but we think this is our first 8er. Shall we go to April 2006, where this album and its era is kicked off?
You're not going to believe this, but we're not kicking off with the single you think.
No.
It's not Promiscuous. It's not Maneater. It's Noé Igual, the Spanish single. And it translates roughly to There Is No Equal.
I was a local until today. Or no, I was a local until the last few weeks when we decided to do this episode. You are a Nexpert, Nelly expert. Double prong question. Were you aware of this song first and foremost? And then did you know it was a single? Second part question.
I bought the album off the cuff. Like, I think off the back of the first single or even Maneater, I was already in the shops buying this album.
Now, listeners, if you followed the pod for a while, that's a rare move for David Lim.
Look, by this stage, I had a bit of pocket money, right? I have McDonald's money.
Oh.
So I was like, I'm able to pop into JB Hi-Fi and get what I need. I did not know this was a single. This was always a bit of an album highlight for me because
okay.
I think halfway through, I think this is like track 5 on the album or something. And it's the first track in the album where she sings in Spanish and it's a completely Spanish track. And I remember the first time hearing this, I've never seen this music video until today. And I'm just like, can I just say gorgeous? She looks stunning.
She is just ready for this era. Like, she's walking into it so confidently. And it's just like she knows what she's got up her sleeve and what's about to come, I think. Do you think the choice of this was to be putting a, when she is aware that lead singles are going to come out for the world, it was to put another single out for other territories?
Maybe it's just service the Latin American market just to get them warmed up for what's to come. And also, like, bloody hell, this is a hot track.
It is a hot track. It's an absolute banger. Like, I need to get onto the dance floor with this one. I need it on a night out.
It's so interesting that it's also being described as like a reggaeton beat because I never really thought about this as a reggaeton track. Nelly said that when she was hanging out with Pharrell in the studio, he introduced her to reggaeton music. And that was the first time she had ever heard about it. And also, I think in the same convo, he suggested that she should work with Timbaland or something like that. So anyway, the idea got cooking. The track Noé Igual is produced by Timbaland and Danger. So we don't see Uncle Pharrell's signature in there anywhere.
He was just put it all together.
He was the conduit. He was the muse. He was the curator.
I need to be dancing to this song on Dance with the Stars Down Under. I need a Kagi Agi and Nelly F collab on this.
I think Kagi's voice could overpower it a little.
That's what I want.
Just a little bit of...
Ha ha! You know, just as much as I'm going to overpower that dance floor, because Nelly, you know, like how the Pussycat Dolls
had Melody Thornton,
and then you had Melody. I just need a bit of that. I love it as well when, for you, when there are albums, there are eras, there are moments that you love so much, and then there's a little gem of something you didn't know, like how this is a whole brand new music video now for you of something that you love so much. Like,
yeah.
Even though we had internet at this time, it was still a place in the world where you would still more than likely just know the things that were serviced to your market.
Yeah, the things that you saw on music video channels and hear on the radio, yeah.
And unless you know you're like us, you have reason to deep dive everything, when would you have just looked up if there was randomly a music video you'd never seen before? I wouldn't say this is the lead single, but Wikipedia tries to tell you it's the lead single.
I know, but okay, we'll let them have it. And because we're so dedicated to our research, that's why we're like giving it the lead single treatment. But we know what it really is.
So charts-wise, on the US Hot Singles Sales Charts, it's peaked at 39. And on the US Latin Rhythm Airplay, it peaked at 38. So David, let's stay in the same calendar month.
Promiscuous featuring Timbaland, the US lead single. And I feel like, yeah, in Australia as well, it was the lead single. It's really hard to tell in this era, to be honest with you, JB, because both Promiscuous and Maneater were so big. Because they leaked online already, I felt like they were both competing for attention at the same time.
Yeah.
Did you get a sense that one was bigger than the other?
I do feel like Maneater was bigger here in the UK.
As the UK lead single.
You know, I am an Essex boy. We'd love a bit of Maneater.
But you would also love a bit of Promiscuous. I feel like they're both...
Well, we're Promiscuous Maneaters. They do... They are literally like how... In the best way, right, you have... Lisa Scott Lee released Lately and Too Far Gone. They're two absolute in-your-face bangers cut from the same cloth. And we, as the pop fans, love them. And some other people will say maybe they were too similar. Not us, because they're two 11 out of 10 tracks. Here, again, they're two songs cut from the same cloth. They could overlap, but not in a bad way. Like, it's two brilliant pieces of work.
It is two, like, really strong up-tempos that are designed for the dance floor. They do have very different kind of, like, energy to it and production, but both really do the same thing. It really grabs you straight away. So I feel like we are so spoiled for choice that she's leading essentially with these two tracks. And, you know, even at this time in 2006, they were like kind of territorial releases. It's like, oh, Maneater is the UK lead. And then Promiscuous will be the US and all international markets lead. And it's like that there was such an abundance of hits here that she could literally do that. I love the rollout for this. I mean, it does seem very hectic, but yeah, look, let's actually get into the song Promiscuous. JP, I mean, this one still goes off in the clubs.
It felt so of the time, but also very fresh and new. And I know a lot of this people will say it kind of wrote what people would do for the next few years. But in a way, I think a lot of it even sounds better now than it did then.
And also, like, my favorite part of this is the back and forth between Timbaland and Nelly, which I think is always iconic when you're on a dance floor with your friends. And then, you know, naturally someone will be Timbo and then I'm always Nelly. You know, that kind of the ping pong of the lyrics. I'm a big girl, I can handle myself. But if I get lonely, I'ma need your help. Pay attention to me, out and talk for my health. I want you on my team. So does everybody else.
Well, look, the lyrics, the song was nicknamed the Blackberry Song, just to give you a real snapshot of where we are in time, because everything they say in the song could be text messages.
I know it's like a little bit tongue-in-cheek, the kind of promiscuous girl, but it's like, it doesn't feel like a judgy tone.
It's liberating. It's liberating.
It's like, I want to be that promiscuous girl.
Yeah.
Or promiscuous boy as she sings it back. is that we are promiscuous.
A promiscuous person, you know? So we had this music video directed by Little X. And Nelly's got some friends in the video, David, isn't she? You know, cameo appearances from her name is Kerry. She's so very Kerry Hilson, Justin Timberlake, and Bria Miles. I'm not sure who that is. I do apologize.
Now, JB, I want to ask, who would your dream 2000s celeb cameos be for your promiscuous video?
What a question. Thank you so much. So we'd film it at the Do nightclub in LA.
Oh, I was not in Romford.
If I got that budget, honey, get that fire exit door open. Get me to LA.
Get on that easy jet. Get on that easy jet.
In an alternate universe, a different podcast is reading it from Wikipedia. Babington opted not to film in his hometown, Romford, as there was budget to film in Los Angeles. Yes, get me on that EasyJet flight, as you're saying, darling. I would be filming in Ladue in LA, and I would have Paris and Nicole.
Oh, of course, your faves.
I would have the girls from the Hills. We're saying this is 2006, 2007, right?
Right.
Misha Barden.
Oh, my God, you're really going for all the stars of the time.
Yeah, I understand the assignment. I would have, as like a fun cameo, Jessica Simpson and Ashley Simpson would be behind the bar as bartenders.
Stunning. Who's going to be on the DJ set?
On the DJ set, we will have JC Chazay.
Oh, yeah, we need a bit of JC.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. And I think, and as the bouncer, Willa Ford.
Oh my God, this is girl power.
This is girl power. And then that's why we're all ogling JC Chazay behind the DJ booth.
Instant VMA win for that. I can't compete with that. I mean, I was going to say, I'd love to have Lucy Liu, Cameron Diaz and Drew.
Oh, David, you got Hollywood star power there. That's amazing.
And also we need to have Danny Minogue. You know, Neon Knights era Danny was looking very club ready.
Oh,
we need Margaret Cho. At this time, I was obsessed with Margaret Cho.
Oh, queen.
You know, we need some queers up in here. And I reckon Duncan from Blue can play my love interest.
You know what? I would say that's quite a good...
balance.
You know, if I've got JC...
I get Duncan.
Couple of heartthrobs.
Boy band heartthrobs only. JB, iconic performances from this era. I just want to give a shout out to the Fashion Rocks 2006 performance where Al Nelly did Promiscuous and Man Eater.
Brilliant. And she had Timbaland there with her, right?
She did have Timbo with her. For the Man Eater part, she was on a podium and there was dancers behind. It was all very monochromatic, black and white staging and ensembles. Very chic because we are Fashion Rocks.
That's you as the PR. This is very chic because we are Fashion Rocks. Don't forget.
Me with a clipboard and like a little headset. Now, what a year this was, JB. It was hosted by Elton John, Sir Elton John, in aid of the Elton John AIDS Foundation. They had Beyonce performing, Jay-Z, Kaggy Aggie, the Black Eyed Peas, Pussycat Dolls. Now take me back to that fucking show.
Bloody hell. What a pride lineup that would be.
The David Lynn Pride, yeah.
So David, there are a few little fabulous B-sides to this track. What we'll see for this and Man Eater, depending on territory, it's the same B-side. So we'll just talk about them here. Crazy. Gnarls Barkley Radio 1 Live Lounge cover.
Oh my God. Dare I say one of the best ever Live Lounge covers.
You've dared to.
This was a LimeWire triple platinum hit on my home computer. Come on now. Who do you think you are? Bless your soul. You really think you're in control? Well, I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy.
What's great about this is obviously it's fabulous. It's a song that's current. It's perfect for Live Lounge. But it's also a nice connecting the dots moment for fans of the first two albums to maybe bring them across here.
Acoustic Nelly, yeah.
Acoustic Nelly, she's still like a bird, she's still flying away. And then this is where it gets really good, David. We have the second B-side, it's called Undercover.
Ooh.
And this is a bit of me, David Lim. This is an edgy pop electro rock number, and it's a bit Disney Channel, but in the very best way.
You know, our Nelly heard it and she was like, I could give this to Ali and AJ or Selena, but I'd rather just release it myself and take the credit.
She's coming for High School Musical, number one album of the year. You know, she's got to do something. She was chasing Ashley Tisdale and she whipped that song right out of her.
Why wasn't this service to, like, you know, Radio Disney as the fourth single of this era?
Undercover at the Radio Disney Awards. Shall we talk about chart positions for this monumental hit? In America, this was Nelly Furtado's first number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100. Number one for 6 weeks, David Lim. And it was replaced by... Do you know what it was replaced by?
Bob the Builder?
It was replaced by Al Fergie. London Bridge.
London Bridge went number one in the US.
According to Wikipedia.
Damn. Okay, look, well, that Fergie episode's still to come, guys, so don't judge us.
Absolutely. I'll correct myself as and when in the future if that is incorrect.
Listen, as we were saying, the main pop girls were doing it. The main pop R&B girls were doing it this year.
Thriving. Number three here in the UK. It was number five in Scotland, five in Romania, number one smash hit in New Zealand, number eight in Italy, five in Ireland, five on the European Hot 100, number one in Canada, Nelly's home country. Didn't chart in Australia.
No, that's not
joking.
True.
Joking. It was a number two smash hit on the Australian ARIA charts.
I was just about to like open up the Wikipedia and be like, what are you doing?
Kept off the top by Australia's answer to Bob the Builder, I am sure, the Wiggles or whoever.
So Promiscuous was also nominated for a Grammy Best Pop Duo Collaboration. It won a Billboard Pop 100 Single of the Year in 2006. And this is a little bit of the JB, 2016 Choice Awards.
Oh, fabulous.
Not for Undercover the B-side, but Promiscuous won Choice V Cast Music Artist, Choice Song of the Summer, Choice R&B Hip Hop Track.
Do you know why the Teen Choice Awards is one of the most prestigious awards in the industry? Because it's chosen for you directly by the fans. It's the Teen Choice Awards. The teens have chosen it.
The teens have spoken.
So, David, I don't know... I would say you're feeling hungry, but I think you're feeling ravenous.
She's a man-eater, darling.
It is 2006. It is May. We've got the same B-side, so I'm not going to talk about them again, but we have got Man-Eater. We've got the European lead single, and David Lim tried to age me up, but if I was old enough to go to the club, I'd be all over Liquid's dance floor. That's a Romford nightclub that's no longer with us. Dancing to this one, if that was possible at the time.
I like the production of this one, and I actually like this as a song. Like, I love that Man-Eater is centered around a fierce, take no prisoners kind of woman. She knows what she wants. She knows how to get it. It has real strong main character energy. Whereas I think Promiscuous is more kind of, not naff, but it's a little bit like kind of basic and playful.
It's club and like, oh, right, yeah. It's a hip hop summer nights. People were a bit shooketh when Nelly came out with these tracks because it was a shift in music. She'd had these two folky albums and now she's out, she's getting sexy on the dance floor.
It really was, yeah, a reinvention. And to me at the time, I think I mostly ignored it, but some of the stuff that was written was pretty horrible, you know, saying that she's tarted up to sell more records because the second album didn't do as well. And they're trying to be like, oh, that's what the Pussycat Dolls have done. That's what Christina Aguilera's done. And, you know, now Nelly Furtado is doing the same thing. I'm like, it's not the same thing. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with any of those female artists doing what they want to do.
No, absolutely.
We love it. We celebrate it. The times I've seen Nelly Furtado on, say, an FHM cover, which I think she's had two in her career, one in the UK and one in a Latin American market. She's always in like a midriff kind of top and jeans. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not that raunchy, guys. Obviously, the song Promiscuous and Maneater is like very out there and very like sexual energy, but it's like, come on.
Hey, that's just people that don't get pop music and pop adjacent music. The thing is, to me, was more not what the music subject was about, because, you know, I'm standing all the pop girls. It's more about, there's this girl that wanted to turn off the light and fly away like a bird. And now she is a hard-hitting hip-hop artiste.
Yeah, she's grown up and she wants to embrace like a different sound. She wants to go out dancing. And, you know, I think they maybe saw her as a little bit more alternative, a little bit more singer-songwriterly. And when you listen to this album, you're still going to get those tones and those moments. But it's like,
yeah,
wow, like everyone calm down. She just wants to try something different and go big and have a main pop girl moment. We love this song, Maneater.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute fire. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, Timbaland. Speaking of fire, literal flames were produced in the studio.
Oh, my God.
When they were working on this beat. So Nelly said that there was a fire in the studio when she was laying down the track. She said, obviously, the whole experience left her incredibly spooked. She actually feared that there was something about the sound of the music that was that had caused the flames. So for a couple of weeks, she decided to not work on the song.
Fair enough.
She said, actually, we were scared of the beat. We felt like it had the devil in it or something. We put it away for a few weeks until we had the courage to play it again. It was life-threatening. Someone almost got first-degree burns. Oh, Nelly, she sounds as dramatic as us.
Growing up, right, when I was a kid, I loved the Scream movies. I still do. But like, I was such a scaredy cat as a kid at the same time. So I would beg my mum that I'd be like, can you buy the Scream mask so I can wear it for Halloween or whatever? But then I'd get so scared that it was in the house. So I'd make her like hide it in a drawer.
Isn't that worse? Because then you might open up the drawer and scare yourself, not knowing it was in there.
No. It's got to be hidden away. But that's what Nelly was feeling about this track. Let's talk about this music video, directed by Anthony Mandler, shot in Los Angeles.
That intro is like, I was a bit scared. I was like, where's that cat going? It's giving American Horror Story Maneater.
So I loved it, right? It's really interesting you say that, because the opening of the video to me was giving ridiculous, dramatic, but also dreamlike and very modern 80s. But 80s in that almost Nightmare on Elm Street way. So it's interesting that you're saying you got a little bit scared, like a little bit Thriller feeling,
Oh my God, Thriller, yes. Especially the beat where she walks in and is the room surrounded by, and yeah, then she starts dancing. That is so Thriller, isn't it?
Yeah. Listeners are going to watch this and be like, what the F are they talking about? It isn't scary at all, but it's more about that underlying mood and feeling of what it could lead to.
It's like a B-movie horror.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the 80s was definitely an influence on this track. You know, they reference Blondie, they reference a lot of 80s kind of rock or new wave artists, and you can feel that energy definitely in the beat.
So we have our scary beginnings, and with such confidence, it's about an hour and a half. It's about a minute and a half before we get to the song. Now, that is how me as my pop star campaign, I would give you an hour and a half feature film just so you could get to the song at the end. But Nelly nearly did that. She did a minute and a half. But that is a strong, ballsy move. We're going to do a minute and a half before we even get to the song. But then once we are there, we're in this underground warehouse club.
But a bit culty. Like the people look like zombies or a bit possessed.
Because they're also all looking at her, and then she's dancing, and then it's kind of like a little bit hip-hop fussy as well, a lot of the dance moves.
Wow. Put that on Wikipedia as a review. Hip-hop fussy by Joel Babington of Right Back At You.
And then randomly, or not randomly, because it's a decision by Nelly and team, dancing in front of the flame sequence.
A nod to what happened in the studio. She's facing her fears. she ends up here because she was chasing her dog, Toby. And, you know, it must have been hours by this point. She's dancing in there, tops coming off, as in like the waistcoats come off, the actual tops off, and she's just in her little vest top. And then she decides to leave, right? She's all danced out, opens up the door, and she sees the dog outside. She's like, oh, Toby, there Toby. You are. What are you like, Toby? And then I'm looking at Nelly. I was like, you've left your waistcoat in there and your top, like.
And where's your cat?
Where's your... Maybe it wasn't her cat to begin with.
No, she's just following it to the party.
But yeah, very me when I leave the nightclub. You know, jackets left in the coat room.
King of an Irish exit, me texting him, let me know when you've got home. So David, Liam, this was a number 3 smash hit on the Australian ARIA charts. Number 1 on the Australian urban charts. 1 in the United Kingdom, 16 on the US Billboard Hot 100. Another a number 1 hit in Canada, 2 on the Europe Euro chart Hot 100, 2 in Ireland, 2 in New Zealand, 41 in Romania. What were you thinking, Seb? 3 in Scotland. 2 strong singles, 3 strong singles. Let's go to June 2006. We're going to continue the summer of Nelly with the 3rd album.
Loose, yes. I almost feel like after the success of this era, because it was so big and incomparable, like it kind of shook her career a little, and maybe she needed like a little time out to just kind of find herself again and just kind of reset. Because when you get success, like the kind of success that we're going to talk about with this album, it takes over.
Yeah. Also, she's a mam.
Oh, yeah, she is a mam by this point.
She's
yeah.
a mam.
She's a mam. Are you the mam?
So she's got to spend some time with little kitty, Nelly Jr. If I had this album, I'd be like, job done. Gonna take 10 years off. Then I'll see you every Pride that will book me.
Yeah, literally 10th anniversary reissue. And then I'll pop out for a gig. Yeah. So Nelly worked with Timbaland and his protege Danger for the majority of this album. But we also have Uncle Chris Martin from Coldplay popping in. And also Rick Knowles, legendary producer and songwriter who's worked with Fleetwood Mac and Madonna. Now, this is primarily a pop album with very strong R&B hip hop flavors. There's Latin pop in there. There's kind of bits of 80s synth pop. Despite all this, right, I actually think it's a very cohesive album, would you say, JB?
Absolutely. There are those strong hip hop undertones throughout all.
But I feel like because it's the same two producers that's hemmed the whole thing, like it kind of sits very well together. And they all kind of feel like they were elements of Nelly's previous work.
I think it's a concept album for summer.
There's no cold tones on this album. Like I just feel everything about this is perfect for the summer.
Even like All Good Things Come to an End literally feels like end of summer. Say It Right. They all feel like summer nights or like that crossover period of end of summer. As we're saying, this is our first episode with 8 tracks. So there's not loads to deep dive into here. We're going to quickly say a standout or a few standouts each. So let's start with you, Davo.
Okay, JB, I want to give a shout out to Showtime.
Oh.
I've always quite enjoyed this one on the album because it's got some kind of innocence to it. Like it feels like a song that was written for the moment before two people go to the prom together. Like they're getting dressed, they're getting ready, and they're stepping out for the first time and being seen together as like maybe a couple.
Put on your best clothes. We've been waiting too long for this moment. Smile. I'm shining inside air. I'm proud of a love, but every time I turn around, you say,
I actually was listening to it back today, and after however many years since I last heard it, and I low key feel like it could even be slightly rewritten to be an LGBTQ anthem. Like,
really?
Take out the bits about a boy and a girl together and keep it more general. And then it could take on a life of its own, like Little Mix, a secret love song. Like, look at the lyrics. Showtime, our love's coming out. Lights, camera, action, show what we're about. Let's break a leg out there. This could be the start of the rest of our lives. I've got so much to share and I'm ready to put it all out there for you. But every time I turn around, you seem so afraid of what people might say.
That's lovely. It gives sort of like R&B girl album track, but in a great way as well. Like,
could be on a Solange album, actually.
Somewhere between Solo Start and Hadley Street Dreams. Like, if there was an album between those, this would be it.
So, JB, what about you? Is there an album track you want to shout out?
Before Molly King Let Her Hair Down.
Stop it.
Nelly did it first with Let My Hair Down. Bonus track on here. It gives quite a mystical R&B vibe. Baby, I want to let my hair down. Baby, I want to let my hair down. Baby, I want to let my hair down. Give me something that'll make me jump around. Baby, I want to let my hair down.
Yes, this is probably one of the more experimental bonus tracks that we get included in this era. Yeah, I'm definitely picking up like the Bangra beats and the Middle Eastern influences here. It kind of feels like, yeah, Nelly Furtado maybe tapping into a more MIA space.
We do get that as well in a slightly more subtle way on the album track Wait For You.
Yes, that's another one of my faves.
I was going to say that. I'm surprised you didn't say that because that has DL written all over it. David, any other tracks for you that stand out?
I also want to give a quick shout out to the opening track, Afraid. I'm really impressed with this track as a choice for an album opener. You know, knowing that this is an album that is going to be a leap forward into the mainstream and into like a new image, I find it so interesting that she decided to start the album in such a vulnerable way. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Gwen's What You Waiting For. You know, that sentiment of musing, self-doubt, and it's just like, don't be afraid, just go for it, you know? Step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I think it's such a good album opener. It was giving me Janet Jackson meets Shakira.
Yeah.
2 11 out of 10 slays, but you would never think of sort of putting them together. But this is what you get, I think. And then lastly, I just want to give a shout out to Glow. Now, I think in an alternate world, a poppier version of this could have been a Girlicious song.
Or a Gwen Stefani collab.
With
Gwen.
But Gwen with Nelly or with Girlicious?
Gwen with Nelly.
Oh, right. Sorry, Girlicious, your time's up.
Get the fuck out.
Oh, that would be fabulous, Gwen and Nelly.
Because it does have a bit of the 80s feel that could be like track 9 on Love Angel Music Baby or like an international bonus track vibe. So it could be like a meeting of minds of both their albums.
Wow.
I can hear Gwenny on this.
Did quite well, really, didn't it? So in America, it debuted at number one on the US Billboard 200. This was Nelly's first album to top the chart. First week sales of 219,000 copies, certified platinum. In Canada, Nelly's home country, it also debuted at number one.
Deserved.
At that time, it was the year's strongest debut for a Canadian artist. Here in the UK, it entered and peaked at number 5. It was certified double platinum. It has sold roughly 827,000 copies here in the UK. In Australia, David Lim, it is certified 2x platinum. It reached number 4, number 1 in Ireland, and number 1 smash hit album. We love that. Number 1 in New Zealand, number 4 on the Japanese album charts, and number 7 on the Scottish album charts. That does surprise me. Nelly, well done. Number 1 in 10 countries.
That felt incredible. It felt like there was like a culture. The album had its own culture and its own life and its own rhythm. I've never had that before, and it's nice to be 3 albums into it and still feel this amazing buzz and excitement about my career, and because I've never had number ones like that before. So I have to say that it's sweeter the third time around. When I first started, I had a lot of great things happen to me very quickly where I almost felt unworthy because I'd just begun, you know. I was like, wow, all the success of this new album and the radio attention and the fan response is just exciting for me. It's like mutual enthusiasm because I'm so enthusiastic about this album, so it's so nice to get that in return. And it feels like a whole new career in a way, because this new album, through this recording process, I realized that I really do want to do this my whole life.
Loose would go on to sell over 12 million copies worldwide, becoming the best-selling album of her career so far.
Say it right, David Lim. Say it right. Which we were all doing in October 2006.
The kind of demon twink energy of the last two singles. By comparison, this one feels quite spiritual and haunting. But you know what I realized after moving to the UK? They always bring up Say It Right. So I kind of feel like, yeah, it does have a very strong presence in this market, almost equal to Maneater and Promiscuous. Obviously, you know, it's had a TikTok moment, so they're all aware of it in that sense.
You've come in so strong with the first two, which, you know, stereotypically you do with a new era. It's sort of like shock value, quote unquote, of like, this is big, this is powerful. This now, yes, it's very much part of this era, but it also isn't a whole world away from the first two albums.
This song came about from a very late, or shall I say early, in the AM studio session. It was about 4 in the morning. Timbaland's like, Nelly, you need to go home. You're tired. Like, let's call it a day. And then she's like, no, I heard that you two do their best work at 4 in the morning. I'm going to keep chugging along. And that's where this song came about. And I think that's also kind of why the beats and the vocals have such a nocturnal quality to it.
Yeah, it's that sort of time of like,
in the day, doom, doom, in the night, say it right.
On a rare occasion, you get that level of hangover. 9 hangovers out of 10, I'm just dead to the world. But sometimes, once in a blue moon, 1 out of 10 times, you have that hangover where you're just creatively on fire. Your brain is thinking in a different way. You're a little bit out of it, but in a really good way. And you're just on fire and
in the moment, and it flows out of you. And I think that's kind of what's happened here, because when Nelly's asked about what this song's about, she openly says she doesn't really know what it's about, you know. She said it's kind of a magical song. It has a mystery to it that I've not quite figured out, but it captures the feeling I had when I wrote it, and it taps into this other sphere. I mean, she should work in PR, because that's a whole lot of nothing that she just said there.
Me on a meeting. I really think the song captures the essence and explains it within itself.
Shall we talk about the music video?
Yeah, let's. So it's directed by British duo Rankin and Chris, filmed in Los Angeles, late October.
I think this is the Rankin. As in
Rankin.
Rankin, as in photographer Rankin, yeah.
Then who's Chris?
Just Chris. You know, Chris from down the road.
Rankin's mate. We always joke at work. They're like, when are we getting new headshots? And I'm like, when are we getting Rankin in? Because
that's the level I work at.
Come on, like, someone's got to do something about this.
Yeah, we need Rankin. This video was shot back to back with the All Good Things Come to an End music video. So what a busy era it is for our Nelly. But also what's really staggering, the first time I saw this, I was shook. Bangs. She's got the fringe. It's very like Top Model contestant gets a makeover and everyone shook.
David, I'm so glad you brought this up. So we got fringe and a long bob.
Just past the shoulders is long bob. What is a long bob?
Long bob's however long you want it to be, darling.
You know, the heavy fringe, she looks like a supermodel. It's just, not everyone can pull that off.
And I'm going to ask, who did the fringe and the long bob first? Nelly?
Or Claudia Winkleman?
Or Cheryl? Do you remember when Cheryl had the sharp fringe and long bob?
She did. That was the Tangled Up era, wasn't it?
Which we've not got to yet canonically on the podcast. So, which then begs the question, is Cheryl the Nelly Furtado of Newcastle?
Oh my God. Now, fun fact, speaking of Top Model, that gorgeous black feather cocktail dress that she wears at the start of the video on the rooftop, that was specifically designed for our Nelly by Aussie fashion designer Alex Perry, who a lot of people back home would know as the longest serving judge on Australia's Next Top Model.
I love that people that just started off at the sewing machine of Down Under High and now...
stitching feathers for Nelly Furtado's video, yes.
Getting the glue gun out and, and going for it.
Glue gun? This is Alex Perry, top fashion designer, not a drag race like
I'm joking.
Challenge.
It's expensive, David. You've got those feathers from Down Under High. You've got a big fuck-off helicopter. There's nothing about this video that's giving me not got budget. So, in Australia, look, the feathers did wonders because it did numbers, hitting in at number 2 on the Australia chart.
Wow, this was the number 2 single there?
Again, number 1 in Canada, number 1 in Croatia, number 1 in the Czech Republic, number 2 on the European Hot 100 singles, number 1 in France. Number 1 in New Zealand, number 10 here in the UK, and number 1 in the US.
A US number 1 hit, another one for our Nelly. That's incredible. So even though it only made number 10 here in the UK, it became the 29th best-selling single of 2007 here. And I was very shocked by this, JB. This song is Nelly Furtado's longest charting song, solo song in the UK.
Wow.
37 weeks on the UK charts. The only other time she spent longer here was with that James Morrison duet. I'm Like a Bird, 17 weeks. Maneater, 22. Promiscuous, 23. All Good Things, 23 weeks. Bear in mind, this is the 4th single here in the UK, by the way. So Say It Right, on top of getting so much chart love, which I'm frankly pleasantly surprised by, the song also received a nomination for Best Female Vocal Pop Performance at the Grammys, but it lost out to Amy's Rehab. Very deserved winner.
Very deserved winner. As beautiful as that is, All Good Things Come to an End. Especially in November 2006. Flames to dust. If we have any straight male listeners out there, this one is for you, because one of the writers on this track is Chris Martin.
I know some gays that like a bit of Coldplay. Yes, the Chris Martin of Coldplay has a writing credit on this one. It's either this or Jamelia's See It in a Boy's Eyes. I wonder if this was the first time I heard of Chris going into pop and writing for other people.
This is such a beautiful song.
I think this is one of my favorite Nelly Furtado songs. You know, I love a bit of breezy, wistful kind of ballad moment.
Obviously, she did it in the right way to come out with the bangers and then this. I think if she'd come out with Say It Right and All Good Things Come to an End, people wouldn't have said like, oh, this is such a departure from her last two albums.
She really was like, listen, I've got range, but I'm going to let you think this is that album and I'm going to surprise you in about 6 months' time. Now, JB, this was one of the last songs to be created for this album, and it came about when our Nelly bumped into Uncle Chris at the 2005 VMAs.
You're right, Chris. What are you up to these days? I haven't seen you in a while.
Still with that little band of yours. Anyway, she told Chris Martin that she was working with Timbaland on a new album, and, you know, he slid in there and was like, oh, I love Timbaland. I would love to pop by the studio and say hi. And it turns out Timbaland had been listening to Coldplay's X and Y album in the studio just the other week.
Straight alliance.
Great alliance. When Uncle Chris popped up to studio, it was like, let's do something together. Let's work on something. And out came this gorgeously haunting song. Our Uncle Chris was meant to have a bit more vocals on this song.
He was meant to have a bit part.
He was meant to, yeah, be singing in the chorus behind Nelly Furtado. And there is a leaked version, I've heard of that. And I'm sorry, Uncle Chris, it did not sound good. I'm glad your lawyer said to pull that, because the vocals wasn't good. He was kind of howling like a wolf in the background. And I know that's his style, but it was kind of distracting.
Can't compete with Nelly.
Now, let's look at this music video. We are back in Puerto Rico again for the second video she shot there in this album era. Now we're on the beach. It's looking very tropical, but the coloration of the video is like very cool tones. So it's not meant to look like a sexy beach video. It's meant to look a little bit more introspective. There's our Nelly in a gorgeous floating white dress, just walking in the water.
I sung such a beautiful song. You just need a bit of a wistful Nelly on the beach.
And then it cuts to scenes of this hunky male model that is her love interest in the jungle. They've obviously had a tiff and it's all, you know, it's they're not together anymore, but it keeps cutting back to these shots of them embracing, and it's all very, a bit arty, wouldn't you say?
Are you telling me the last scene wasn't passionate?
Well, it wasn't advertised to me that way.
Oh, yeah?
There's always a little part in the treatment that I misread. I didn't get the part about me being underneath a waterfall.
Oh, you didn't know that was coming.
And wet and hugging the gentleman. I kind of missed that. Yeah, I like my job today. Do you?
I love my job. When the water was coming down, what were you thinking?
It was just hilarious. Well, you know, your dreams are always a little more exotic than real life.
So here in the UK, David, this was a number four smash hit. We loved it. Look, when it works, it works. It was a number 86 hit in America, number 8 in Scotland, number 1 in Slovakia, hello Slovakia, number 1 in Poland, number 1 in Norway, number 1 in the Netherlands, number 12 in New Zealand, number 1 in Hungary, they were hungry for it, 6 in France, number 1 on the European Hot 100 singles, and number 12 in Australia, but number 3 on the Australian Urban Charts.
So what comes next, JB? We're back to a banger, are we?
Our girly, Nelly, is teaming up with Timbaland, who's produced most of the album, and Justin Timberlake, and they released this collab, Give It To Me, which has just had this TikTok resurgence. So going in strong with that. Now, that is a single from Timbaland's album. Not Loose, but Loose Adjacent.
It is definitely Loose Adjacent. It's in the family. It's in the universe. And yeah, I just really like doing this episode has reminded me like how dominant Timbaland was at this time. With he had two of his artist albums, and I was lapping it up. But I love that Nelly's in this community. You know, he's like the Timbaland community, you know?
Yeah.
It's Missy, JT, Nelly, Al Carey, Nicole Scherzi.
In 2 years, there's going to be Ashley Simpson. And we must also give a shout out that that single was nominated for Grammy Award for Best Pop Collaboration with Vocals at the 2008 Grammys. So hats off to all. We're going to fast forward, David Lim, to June 2007, where we've got
Tebusque.
Yeah.
My heart's so rigid, I keep it in the fridge. It hurts so bad that I can't dry my eyes, cause they keep on refilling with the tears that I cry.
Te busqué debajo de las piedras y no te encontré. En la mañana fría y en la noche te busqué hasta enloquecer.
I like this song. It's got like a real kind of almost sentimental feeling to it.
This song, to me, reminds me of Sting's Shape of My Heart, aka
Sugar Babe's Shape.
Sugar Babe's Shape and Rise and Fall by Craig David.
We could do a mashup, actually.
It sounds very similar.
Oh.
I went to check, I thought the sample was there.
Obviously, it says here June 2007. Between that time, Nelly has been on a tour.
World tour.
It's called the Get Loose Tour. And there were like UK and European dates in that, as well as North American dates, obviously in celebration of this huge album. To keep the momentum going, I guess they decided to release this song in Latin American markets. So a music video was scheduled to be shot in December 2006, which I believe was actually when Nelly starts her US leg of the tour, but it was cancelled due to scheduling conflicts. Yes, we know she's busy. Even though the song wasn't officially released in the US as a single, it was given airplay on Latin music radio stations.
Deserved.
And it reached number 24 on Billboard's Latin pop airplay charts. So I imagine like the Radio 2 of Latin radio would have lapped this up.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that in July 8, 2006, it was released on iTunes Store in Spain, where it was released as the first single on the album, because the success was limited for the sort of more hip hop R&B led singles there.
Amazing. See, we're learning so much about this era, because obviously, like, you're in the UK, I'm in Australia, we consume stuff that were made available to us, that were targeted to us. But reading this, it's like, wow, in Spain, this was the first single. This album has so much good stuff that it could literally be tailored to markets. And I hope it did its thing in Spain. Is there a chart position for that? Number one, Te Busqué, number one on the Los 40 Principales chart.
Hello, we're so happy to have you here. Hola.
Now that is a radio chart. So yeah, number one on radio, can we say, in Spain?
Big slay. Number 24 on the US Latin pop airplay. And 52 on the European Hot 100 singles.
22 in Romania. Hello. Thank you, Seb.
Thank you, baby. So, as David Lim is saying, do it. July 2007, Nelly released the hit Do It. Is a bit of me. This is a fun pop girly anthem. It's still grounded in hip hop. It's also a mainstream pop girl number in the 80s.
Yeah, that 80s influence is really coming through on this album here in those notes there. But, you know, we're coming off a time where Gwen Stefani did it really well with Love Angel Music Baby. So it felt very trendy to tap into that 80s nostalgia.
You've got the video, which was shot by Aaron A, who was the documentarian of Nelly's tour at the time. The video is co-directed by Nelly Furtado herself. It was shot on location in Detroit. The video starts with Nelly and the dancers in the women's toilets and they're getting ready for a night out. And then it just goes on from there.
It was very girls' night out kind of video. We all need that in an album story campaign, you know. You've got all that serious choreography. You've got all the nightclub videos. And you just want a video where you can be a little bit more casual and hang with your besties.
So, David, they did, in September 2007 of this year, Nelly performed this at the MTV VMAs 2007 as part of a sort of Timbaland medley. So Nelly opened it with performing Do It. Then it goes to Timbaland performing The Way I Are, featuring Queen Keri Hilson. Then we've got Justin Timberlake performing Love Stoned. And then it ends with Nelly, Timbaland and Justin performing Give It To Me.
Oh, it's a Timbo special. We love to see it.
Now, looking back at it, right, this is the infamous 2007 VMAs where Britney performs Gimme More.
Oh, wow, that one.
It's that one. And all I'm going to say is the world owes Britney Spears an apology. You look back at this and the other performances of the night, and they are so small. Don't get me wrong, Nelly slayed. Nelly slayed the game, but the performance feels absolutely so small. It doesn't feel like the VMAs we know and love. Britney put on a production.
Yeah.
Britney had layers and levels. The rest feels so small. When you watch it all in hindsight and you take it all in, you're like,
it's Britney, bitch. That's why.
And it always will be. So this was number one on the US Dance Club Songs chart.
I feel like that's the first time we've read that chart in this era, which is quite shocking because a lot of these could be like number one on a dance club charts, but maybe just got like more fun remixes.
It was number 88 on the US Billboard Hot 100, which is very impressive this far along in the album campaign. Number 75 in the UK, number 3 in Slovakia, 3 in Romania, 17 in New Zealand, 4 in Italy, 6 in Finland, and number 53 in Australia.
I barely remember seeing this as a CD single. Or maybe it didn't even come out on CD. I think we're in a time of digital downloads now. But we'd love to see Missy Elliott on it. We love these types of like later singles being released and they chuck on a rapper on it to give it something new, something different. It's an age-old trick that we love to see. And sometimes it works and it's like, yeah, it's needed.
Year 6 of the podcast, Missy Elliott's going to be our third co-host and we can't wait for that.
That will be iconic.
Let's go to November 2007.
Yes, we are now like over a year into this campaign. That Get Loose tour is well and truly done, but Nelly herself is not done with the album yet. This is the final single that we're getting here, number 8, and it is In God's Hands.
Yeah. The album campaign is done when Nelly says it's done, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Don't question her. Now our love's floating out the window. Our love's floating out the back door. Our love's floating up in the sky, in heaven, where it began. Back in God's. This one's written by Nelly with the incredible Rick Knowles. And it's probably one of the few tracks that isn't produced by Timbaland and Danger. I absolutely adore this song. And I think this must have come out around the time of that James Morrison song that I keep bringing up. But it's only because from my memory, I feel like they were both kind of competing with each other a little. And that James Morrison Broken String song was bigger. And I feel like In God's Hands got lost a little bit. So speaking of those kind of like, you know, tacked on duets or features, the new addition to this song for a single is Aussie country singer Keith Urban, or Mr. Nicole Kidman, as he's known to some of us.
But that's not until 2008.
Wow. They're still like working it, aren't they? It's just like, damn. So
Keith's getting on it a bit later.
Yeah, he missed the email initially.
And then he replied and was like, sorry, I'd still love to do this if it's there. And they're like, all right.
Go on then.
Lucia is back on, guys.
Lucia. Can you imagine if that was the deluxe reissue? So, Nelly Furtado, Lucia.
So then, yeah, that was released in April 2008. But the solo version, yeah, was in November. Now, David Lim. Love's floating out of the window. Love's floating out of the back door.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Do you think In God's Hands would be a Papa Lim approved Christian radio hit?
I think he would probably listen to this and be like, is it a spiritual song?
I think it is.
our love has died. It's gone to God's hands. It's like, wow, dramatic.
Now, this does have a stunning black and white music video shot in California, directed by Jesse Dillon. Features Nelly Furtado on the beach during both nighttime and daytime.
She loves a beach video, doesn't she?
She's just like, I want to spend a day on the beach. Can someone book me a music video so I can spend a bloody day on the beach?
But even then, like, she looks different from her previous loose music videos. The hair is shorter. This is very, like, she's gone to a proper bob now. Like, it's more natural, dark curls. It almost feels like it's a different album era already.
It's soft launching in the next era while still being loose.
This looks like a L'Oreal commercial in some ways. Or like a, you know, I don't know, like a Hilfiger fragrance commercial.
Oh, yeah. She should have done a fragrance during this time.
I think this is a more beautiful video than All Good Things Come to an End. If we're going to compare beach videos.
Battle of the Beaches.
All Good Things is my favorite of the two ballads. But this is more Radio 2. This is more commercial.
This in the UK charted at 116. People didn't know about it. It's not even on officialcharts.com. But the duet version, David.
Yes.
In 2008, 66 in Australia.
The Power of Keith Urban.
And 15 on US Adult Contemporary. In Canada, it was number 3 on their...
on the Adult Contemporary charts.
Brilliant.
Who would be the duet equivalent here in the UK?
And what sort of person do you mean? Sort of adult contemporary man?
Yeah, just think about the song and who would be a good British...
Do you know who would do in it?
Do you know what, who would do a really good job of this? Will Young.
Will Young, if you want someone a bit younger. Or also, my man Rick Astley would do an amazing job of this.
Oh, there you go. Uncle Rick.
He's got a gorgeous song called Angels on My Side, which is gorgeous. So these would be a wonderful pairing to that.
Oh, wow. The Rick Astley content has slid into the pod once again.
But if you want something a bit fresh, a bit edgy, get Will. Or go for Two Women. Get Jade Ewing on the track.
Martin on this one. I think Martin McCutcheon would appreciate a bit of In God's Hands.
Absolutely.
Give us a musical theatre version of that, Martin.
Could be an assembly hit. brilliant. All right, David. Well, all things come to an end.
I know, we've been saying it so much in this episode, but it actually is the end now, guys.
It's been brilliant taking this modern trip into the past.
If you haven't listened to Loose in a long time, please go back and check it out, because this is the album of the summer for us every summer since 2006. JB, can't wait till we catch up again for another episode. Who knows what we'll do next?
Who bloody knows?
I actually don't know. I need to check the schedule, but yeah.
Same. All right. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. If you love what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at @Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@DavidLusalim_ManEater. No, it's @LoveLimmy.
Until next time, bye.
Bye.